Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. PiedmontMedicalCenter.com is where you can find out more information. Well, today we're going to be talking about celebrating Race Equity Month. We have two young people around the table with us. We have Summersby Oki and Jonathan Nazer. They're both members of the Rock Hill Community Relations Council. So, ladies go first. Summersby, tell everybody a little bit about you.
Sure. So I work for United Way of York County as the Collective Impact Director, and I am a member of the Community Relations Council as a volunteer, as all of us are.
Right.
And we, Jonathan and I, both serve on the Race Equity Month subcommittee, which is what brings us here today.
Okay. Jonathan?
Hey, I'm Jonathan Azier, a resident here in Rock Hill. Been here for roughly about 4 years now, and
really?
Just really, Rock Hill has really become home to me, and so I work in broadcast, and so
good for you.
Just happy to be a part of not only this great city of Rock Hill, but also working in the community with organizations like Community Relations Council.
Wonderful. All right, I think we probably should tell everybody a little bit about what the Community Relations Council is all about, because we got so we have so many new people in this town. They're still trying to find out where Main Street is. So, Summersby, tell us a little bit about the Community Relations Council.
Sure. As we were talking about before we started, Manning, this came out of the No Room for Racism Committee. It was merged together with the Martin Luther King Jr. Committee, which does the Interfaith Prayer Breakfast and the Human Relations Committee. All three of those came together. It's a board and commission of the city of Rock Hill, and it's a volunteer board. Our purpose is to promote respect, appreciation, and understanding of diversity among all people in our community by promoting positive human relations and reducing discrimination, and assessing and responding to the human relations needs of our community, as well as serving as a source of information and advocating and recognizing change to achieve our mission.
So is this the new thing? I mean, is it taken over from what the No Room for Racism Commission was all about? Or is that still in existence?
We have now taken over their mission.
Gotcha.
And so we have morphed into this new entity.
All right. So you've morphed. So what kinds of things do you all do in terms of achieving your goal?
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, so as you can tell, we're still heavily involved with the Interfaith Prayer Breakfast. So the Martin Luther King Breakfast is something that we continue to organize and plan, as well as Black History Month. We work very closely with other organizations like the Kwanzaa Committee. And then what we're doing this month with Race Equity Month is a big part of our charge.
All right. Now, the MLK breakfast, I get my ears mixed up now. Did we have one last year?
We did. It was virtual.
That's why I don't remember.
So, yeah, typically we meet over at First Baptist,
and we
all kind of come together.
And it's a grand event.
Beautiful event, but this year we kind of scaled back across COVID, and it was still a great event, and we'll see how 2022 shapes up.
So we're going to have it one way or the other.
Absolutely, okay. Absolutely. We'll still plan on having it.
All right. Well, let's get to what we're doing here, which is Race Equity Month. What are we doing?
Sure.
Is it the month of September or October? What is it?
The month of September.
All right.
This is a proclamation that came down from the mayor, I think in 2007.
Okay.
And it was relegated to the Community Relations Council to celebrate diversity and promote justice by celebrating racial equity or equality. It started out as Race Equality Week. But we have found as we move forward with the event that we wanted to have more than one event. And having more than one event a week is pretty busy.
Yeah.
So we decided to spread it out over a month and have four or five events. the past 2 years have been a little different because we had to do some virtual events and change our mindset a little bit. But we've done a great job. We're proud this year to have three events that we're working on and another event that we promoted. And so we are still moving forward despite the challenges.
So the events that you've had so far, have they been virtual events?
No. We actually did a screening of the film Emmanuel, and that actually happened at City Hall.
Okay.
Great event, great turnout. So that was our in-person event. We've helped promote at the Brattonville Plantation. I hate to use that word, but it is what it is.
Historic Brattonville.
Historic Brattonville. We did promote the some of their events that they've had coming up for the month, and
right.
Now we're leading into a couple great events this week.
All right, there you go. Talk to me. What's right. Coming up this week?
Sure. On Thursday night, we have an event that is co-sponsored by the nonprofit Power of Progeny. We're actually very proud. That's a nonprofit that was started by one of our CRC members out of her involvement in the community. She started her own nonprofit. It's Ms. Carlo Dawson. And the event is to celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month. That's September 15th to October 15th. And so in celebration, the event is called Hablar Expresa to Esperanza, which is to speak and express or speak your hope.
Okay.
And so it is a panel discussion that shares experiences from the panelists on how it is to grow up Hispanic in America and their hopes for the future in the United States. And it's a hybrid event. So we will be meeting in person at 7 p.m. at Casa Tequila, which is where the famous toastery was on India Hook.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't been there, but it just opened, and we've heard the food is really delicious.
Ask Charlie Buffalo. He's been there. He's the extraordinary guy. He samples all these restaurants. He said yes. Very
okay.
Good.
So very well recommended. And it's a Hispanic-owned business as well, so to support those local businesses. So we can meet. You can meet us there in person from 7 to 8 to see the panel, or you can go to the Community Relations Council Facebook page, and we have a Zoom link where you can join and watch the panel virtually if you don't want to be there in person.
All right. So that's Thursday. What else is coming up?
Friday, so Food Truck Friday.
Oh, he lights up on that one.
I do. So the CRC will be taking over Food Truck Friday, and we've got a really, really great interactive game that we're going to hope to get the youth involved. And so they'll get an opportunity to come out and really kind of speak to the passport of diversity through food. And so we've got something really, really special lined up, and if children take part in that, they get a fantastic prize, and so we're super excited about that, and as well as just spreading more information about who CRC, who we are, and just talk more diversity, just like we were talking before about just getting together, and one of the greatest ways to do that is over food.
Yeah. So the event on Friday is not a traditional food truck event at Fountain Park.
Yes and no, but we do have some diverse food truck vendors that will be there, and so we've got them kind of included in on a little bit of the game as well, and so it's going to be a lot of fun.
So it's open to all ages?
Open to all ages.
All ages.
It is a standard Food Truck Friday, and a lot of food, a lot of fun, and a lot of great people coming out.
So the object, I guess, of all these events, particularly the food truck event, is just to get people who look different than you to be buying the same food out of the food truck and maybe say, hi, my name is, what's your name?
As simple as that sounds, something that needs to happen more and more, you know, and with so many people moving to Rock Hill from all different socioeconomic backgrounds, racial background, ethnicities, culture, you know, food is one of those great ways that we can kind of get together and share.
Yeah, well, food is a common denominator
that
for everybody,
is.
Right?
That it is.
Yeah, just.
And when we work on this event, we try and encompass three things: an educational event, a conversation event, and a celebration event. So we had the film screening, which was educational. We have the panelists, which is a conversation. And then as we're talking about racial equity, it's important not only to talk about the work we have to do, but to celebrate the work we have done. So we really see the Food Truck Friday event as part of that celebration, to get together and enjoy each other, just as you said, to celebrate how far we've come, and recognize that in addition to learning and talking about the work we still have to do.
Well, you know, the biggest thing that any community has to do is to realize that racism does exist.
Sure.
And for you, I've often said racism is a two-way street. And if you don't believe it's a two-way street, then you're never going to solve the problem.
Sure.
It's going to take both sides to, you know, take a couple of baby steps towards each other and realize that we're not monsters, that we're just human beings, and we probably have a lot of similarities and very few differences, but we come culturally from different backgrounds, which is a good deal.
Absolutely. I think we have to learn to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. And sometimes when we talk race, it becomes a very uncomfortable conversation. But I think if we do it and we work our way through that process, I think we'll find out that we have way more similarities than we do differences. And we have to acknowledge what has happened in the past in order for us to at least make a step forward. And so I think that this council and some of the great work that we're doing and how diverse and inclusive our group is a great way to start and a great representation of what the city looks like.
You know, I love the phraseology, an uncomfortable conversation. So how do we go about having more uncomfortable conversations? These events are great.
Sure.
But these uncomfortable conversations are ones that need to happen more routinely. I mean, we can't even get the most segregated hour of the week, i.e. church,
absolutely,
to overcome those barriers. And part of that I understand because, you know, religion is a very personal thing and the way you celebrate it is a very personal thing. But to understand how other people pray and worship their Lord, to me, is part of the interesting process.
Agreed.
But I don't sense, maybe I'm wrong here, that we have a lot of churches actively saying, you know what, we're going to invite this church over here, which is entirely different from what we are, over to our place to do this. I may be totally wrong, but is that going on at all?
I don't know that either of us can
speak to that. I really don't have the answer. And maybe the fact that I don't have the answer may be part of the problem. I'm not sure if that conversation is being had. However, I think that there is a large group of people who will welcome that conversation. I just think the sad part is the ones who are willing are probably not the problem. And so,
yeah, well, that's understandable.
Sure,
I mean,
sure.
You know, we were chatting before the show got underway. Your generation, the younger generation, is...
Thank you for including me in that younger generation.
Well, balancing it against me, you for sure are the younger generation, right? So the younger generation, it would seem to me, would be the right nucleus to try to make something like this happen amongst yourselves, because at some point you're going to be my age, and if you can break through this thing at your age, that will help move this ball further up the hill, if you understand what I'm saying.
I do. I think... Yeah. Summersby has...
See, we're having this uncomfortable conversation right now. I can see.
Summersby has a new child, and I think his perspective on race is going to be totally different from... My oldest son is 28, and I have a daughter who's 11. I don't think that they look at race quite the same way that I grew up looking at race. And I think growing up in the South is different from when you grow up in the North or the Midwest or out West. So I think you have all of these sort of experiences that gives you your perspective on race. But we need to talk about those experiences. And so I don't know. I always feel like food is one of the best places to have conversation.
I think so. Sports?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. There's some diehard fans. It may not work.
It's okay. That's fine. But why in the hell would you support that team?
Right. Yeah. But I think you made a great point earlier when you talked about, you know, kind of your way of getting past or getting through some of the race issues or couples of different races going out and having dinner together.
I mean, but the hard part is who is going to make that first step?
Sure.
Who is going to say to the other couple, you know what, we need to get to know each other a little bit better.
Sure.
Let's go have dinner someplace. Come over here for dinner. I'll come over to your house. Somebody has to take the initiative to do this.
Right.
I mean, I'm all about these events, which are great.
Right.
But it seems to me that if the goal is to be a community where there is no room for racism,
sure,
that somehow we got to figure out how to take the next step.
Sure.
Beyond just these occasional gatherings. How can we, I'm throwing this back on your commission, how can the commission initiate something that will, you know, I don't know, just do a better job on this communication between
the
different...
That sounds like a challenge, and
it
we'll
is a
take
challenge.
You up on that.
I'm issuing the challenge to you.
Yes, you are.
I mean, I think that's something that we're trying to work on as a commission. We've been talking with the South Carolina Human Affairs Commission about what our role is within our city as a community relations council and how when, you know, we have unrest in our community or when we have things that come up, how we as a citizen-led commission can be a platform for people to come and express what they're feeling, to sort of mediate and propose solutions or avenues. You know, if you're feeling upset, here's who you can speak to, or here's where we can sit down in the same room and have a conversation. Because I think you're right that giving things a name and calling them what they are and having a conversation about it is a way to bring about change. So I think that's exactly what we want to figure out is how do we facilitate that? How do we create that space? We can't make people come, right? But creating the space for it to happen is a great first step.
Well, let me ask you this. Your commission, how many members do you have on your commission?
You have 13.
13 members. Are they pretty well divided between black and white?
Yes.
And Hispanic or whatever? I don't know.
More black and white. We definitely need some help with Latinos.
Well, all right. So why don't we do this? I'm doing this publicly, by the way.
Yeah.
Why don't we assign the commission the very thing we were talking about? Since you've got a pretty equal number of black and white members, mm-hmm. why don't you all pair up with your spouses and go do the dinner routine and see what you learn from each other?
I think it's an excellent idea, but I think the individuals on our commission all pretty well know each other.
Yeah, but have you really had the uncomfortable conversation?
Sure.
Have you sat down and said, let me tell you, as an African-American male, some of the stuff I have had to deal with.
Sure.
And then somebody, you know, as a white male, some of the crap I've had to deal with.
Sure.
Right? And lay it, I mean, I just think... I love that terminology.
Sure.
The uncomfortable conversation
sure.
is one that I think everybody's got to have,
absolutely.
You know?
I agree. And I think it's worth us definitely going back and having some conversation about
it. On the spot. I know this is unfair, but what the heck?
Well, unfortunately, we both have about 11 other people that we've got to take this back to.
It's all right.
I'm happy to commit to have dinner with Jonathan and his wife.
Absolutely.
There we go. There we go. Yeah, there we are.
That works for us.
Yeah. And y'all can grow the food.
Yeah.
It's great. Perfect.
So I want you to do that.
Sure.
And then what we'll do, this is a live experiment. I want you to do the three things we talked about.
Sure.
Right?
Okay.
Go to each other's houses for dinner.
Sure.
Then go out someplace for dinner.
Sure.
Right? And then we'll come back here
sure.
on Straight Talk.
Yeah.
And we'll say, okay, what do we learn about each
right.
other?
Right.
Sure.
You want to do that?
I think we can do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we can do it. That us having dinner together probably wouldn't have been any problems anyway.
Right.
So we're good.
Absolutely.
All right. We're on the line here.
Yeah, yep. We are. We are. So we'll make that happen. I think
sure.
we can both
commit
to that.
We'll let you do it. Let's see. You can do this monthly.
Okay.
Right? So maybe right after the first of the year, we'll get back together and see what the heck you learn.
Sounds great to us. Great to us.
And then, I might even buy you dinner.
Hey, listen. Now we're talking.
And you know, Manny, if there's anybody who's like, this sounds great. I'm I'm on board. I want to do this. We have an opening on our commission, on the Community Relations Council. So folks that are residents of the City of Rock Hill can go to the City of Rock Hill website and fill out an application for boards and commissions.
Good.
And join our group.
Well, and I applaud the City of Rock Hill for doing what it's been doing over all these years, because there's not too many cities that I know that would put signs at the entrance to their city saying, you know, welcome to Rock Hill, a city where there is no room for racism. I think that's wonderful. All right, we're going to take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road to Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Now, as these two young budding stars know, we prepare fresh subs and salads 7 days a week here at Substation 2. How do we do it, gang? One, two, three.
Slice,
slice, slice.
Garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Hey, Alex, have you tried that new pastrami on rye at Substation 2?
You're darn right I have, and you should too. It's freshly sliced, lean, delicious, served hot, and piled high. And I understand you better hurry because it's a limited time offer.
Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Save on your monthly mortgage payment with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage from Founders Federal Credit Union. Take advantage of low rates while they're still around, and you'll also have no private mortgage insurance costs. The application process is easy, and your mortgage is serviced completely by Founders and always stays with us. Relax your home. For more, visit foundersfcu.com/30. Membership qualification required. Credit evaluation, underwriting requirements, terms and conditions apply. Institutions, NMLS identifier number 410-64.
Water, fire, mold, and storms cause property damage every day. When it happens to you, it's no time for second best. That's why insurance professionals trust the locally owned and family-run Paul Davis Restoration of Rock Hill. This is Gina Rogers. Paul Davis is committed to providing extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Our team is highly qualified and trained to handle each situation with care and professionalism. When disaster strikes, call Paul Davis. We are here to help. 329-1140 or pauldavisrockhill.com.
When your health needs attention, you'll find compassionate care at Piedmont Medical Center. We make it convenient to treat emergencies with online check-in and locations in Rock Hill and Fort Mill. Or if you live with a heart condition, our cardiologists provide advanced treatment options to help you live better. And for pain that slows you down, a minimally invasive surgery can help speed you on to recovery. We are your community built on care.
PiedmontMedicalCenter.com.
Hey, Alex, have you tried that new pastrami on rye at Substation 2?
You're darn right I have, and you should too. It's freshly sliced, lean, delicious, served hot, and piled high. And I understand you better hurry because it's a limited time offer.
Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. They have not left. I was surprised the guests didn't take the opportunity just to leave because they've had enough from me for one show. Summersby Hokey and Jonathan Nazer are with us today. They're both members of the Community Relations Council. I put them on the spot. They didn't mind that, and they've agreed to do the great experiment. So we'll see what happens. So as I told you, I gave you a little heads up on this. Since you are in the whole business of better relations in the community, I'm curious as to how you assess the state of race relations here in Rock Hill, South Carolina. And keep in mind, we're just like every other community in the country.
Sure.
We've got our issues. I think our issues are less than most places, but we still got issues. That's what we all try to work on.
Right.
So who wants to go first? Who wants to take a stab at it? Or you can both just chime in together.
Sure. Well, I think Jonathan and I are on the Community Relations Council for a reason. Right. If we didn't think there was, if we thought there wasn't a problem, we wouldn't be on a commission that's trying to fix it. Right. And so definitely we think that there is work, or personally, I think that there's work to be done, as there is in any city. But also, you know, we can talk about the fact that our city council has a community relations council that were supported by our city government, that our mayor started the No Room for Racism Committee with you, Manning, as you mentioned, and has worked really hard with his Rock Hill for All initiative. And so I think when we talk about the challenges, we can also talk about some things that are going well. But I don't think that we can ignore that there are parts of the city where development has happened. We've seen Riverwalk, we've seen Knowledge Park, we've seen Dave Lyle really grow, and there's really an opportunity in our opportunity zones on the south side of Rock Hill for growth. We have the Clinton Connection Action Plan that we're moving forward to, which was really born out of the community and was really organic, and people in the community saying, hey, we feel like we've been left out. We can't forget that North Central is a big development on the south side, but there's opportunities for other things. And we can't help but think that if there's development in other parts of the city, why has that part of the city been ignored? So I certainly think that people in the community are doing a great job of drawing attention to disparities, and that it's our role as citizens to hear their call and recognize them and support calls for action that come out of specific neighborhoods and specific parts of the city.
Good for you. Try to top that, Jonathan.
Wow, I cannot. And one of the reasons why I love Summersby so much, because I think she hit on some very great points. I think when we talk race in the state of racism or the state of race in this particular city, I think we can only view it from the lens that we see the world through. And so I'm a middle-aged African-American Muslim man. And so my perspective on race is going to be totally different from you, Manny, or from you, Summersby. I think we have a great deal of work to do. I love the direction that we're going. It seems as if in the last 2 years, because of how much race has been polarized, that people are starting to have some of those conversations. But I also know that there's some people retreating from those conversations as well. And so, but I do think that we potentially could be moving in the right direction. I think we have a generation behind us that are really looking to us for some guidance and some mentorship as it relates to race, and I don't think that they see it quite the same way that the three of us at this table see it. I think music, I think culture, I think food, I think economics, I think social issues, I think a lot of those things, they are all kind of champions for. But I do believe that we've got a great deal of work, and this is a very systemic system, and we've got to kind of break ourselves out of that same way of doing the same thing and expecting a different result. That's the definition of insanity, and yeah. So therefore we've got to do some things different. I think providing more spaces and opportunities for people to have that uncomfortable conversation again. Is what we need. And so I know that CRC will do its role in trying to create those, but I think you also play a major role in even having a platform where people can come and kind of have an open and honest discussion as it relates to race.
Well, it's a conversation, and again, I applaud you for how you phrase it, you know, an uncomfortable conversation. And it's one that has to be had, and it has to continue, and it has to – the only way you're going to learn is to keep the conversation going.
Sure.
So good for both of you. I think you've been very objective. I do think this, if we could somehow tone down the national rhetoric so that we weren't blistered every day by negative, 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 polarizing, you know, positions on everything under the sun, we could move forward. But, you know, we're here in Rock Hill. All we can worry about is what's going on here in Rock Hill.
Right.
We can't solve the world's problems. We're just working on what's going on here in Rock Hill.
Well, if we all took a little bit of a step, I think some of the world issues would probably figure themselves out.
Good for you. Well, Jonathan, thank you. Summersby, thank you. That half hour flew by.
Yes.
We will check back with you right after the first of the year.
Sounds
to see how
great.
The great experiment.
To it.
And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program. They'll probably never come back on here.
No, not at all. Welcome back anytime.
And that is going to wrap it up, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And, of course, we broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Dr. Scott Oliver has shown up here to lead us in the daily chant. as to how we prepare fresh subs and salads here at Substation 2. Everybody at the count of three. Are we ready? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Y'all got it. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.